Next, we hear an extraordinary story of a girl, her grandfather, and one of nature's most mysterious and beguiling creatures, the honeybee. Meredith May recalls the first time a honeybee crawled on her arm. She was 5 years old. Her parents had recently split, and she suddenly found herself in the care of her grandfather, an eccentric beekeeper who made honey in a rusty old military bus in the yard. That first close encounter was at once terrifying and exhilarating for May, and in that moment, she discovered that everything she needed to know about life and family was right before her eyes in that secret world of bees. She writes about it in her new book, The Honey Bus, a memoir of wasps, courage, and a girl saved by bees. And it's a pleasure to welcome Meredith May to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Joe, thank you so much for having me.
Very nice to have you on the program. What brought you to want to tell the story of not only the bees, but of your grandfather and this chapter of your life?
Well, I always knew I wanted to write about my family. I have very interesting relatives that would make great characters in a book. But the real inspiration, when I understood that my book was really about being raised by nature, was when my grandfather was becoming frail. He could no longer lift the hive boxes. They get to be 50 pounds when they fill with honey. So I took up the hobby, and I was working at San Francisco Chronicle at the time, and we put the hives on the roof of the building in downtown San Francisco and one of the busiest intersections. And the day the bees arrived, a crowd of coworkers had gathered to watch me transfer them from the cage into the empty hives. And when I held bees again in my hand and I felt the vibration in my palm and I smelled them and I heard the familiar buzz, it was just also familiar, but in this really deeply personal way. And it really got to me, and I started to cry. And I think I scared my colleagues. I thought maybe I was getting stung or something. And I thought, okay, I've got this really unusual connection to these insects, and that I can only explain it in a book. I can't explain it in a soundbite.
Give us a sense of what happened to your family, that the backstory that brought you to that point.
Sure. We were living in Newport, Rhode Island, because my father was in the Navy. I was almost five, and my little brother was two. And my mother was very volatile. I remember a lot of dishware flying in the house. And my parents finally divorced, and shortly after, I found myself on an airplane with my mom and my brother. And when the plane landed, we were in Northern California, and we were moving into, the three of us, into my mother's childhood bedroom in my grandparents' house. And the divorce really sent my mom into a tailspin. She never bounced out of it. So she was bedridden for most of that time, severely depressed. And my grandmother, her first priority became taking care of my mom. So my brother and I were just kind of wandering around, and we wandered into my grandpa's work truck and went with him to Big Sur, where he had 100 beehives. And that became our education, and that became our parent, and that became how we've soothed ourselves, because if you think about it, a beehive is the opposite of a dysfunctional family.
Right.
You know, so
you say that you felt important and necessary when you were helping your grandfather. How so?
He had an old World War II military bus in the backyard, and he had gutted it and torn out the seats and built his honey bottling factory inside. And he would take my brother and I in there with him and show us how to process and bottle honey. And it was just incredible to have an adult paying attention to us and teaching us a skill. And this bus held this like Willy Wonka fascination over us, because he built the processing equipment out of old spare junk that he had in the yard. And it had a pump that pumped the honey through pipes that ran the length of the ceiling, and the whole thing was powered by an engine he'd ripped out of a lawnmower. And it was just like a very special place, kind of like a confessional, because we'd close the doors and Grandpa would talk to us and no one else was listening, and we just felt really special and grown up when we were with him. He treated us very differently than all the other adults in our lives.
Talk a little bit about what you learned from the bees, in the sense that your grandfather taught you about bee behavior, and then the parallels that you drew from that.
Yeah. One thing I keyed on right away as a little girl is the mother-daughter bond between the queen and the worker bee daughters. The queen is the only bee in the hive that can lay eggs, but she can't feed herself or keep warm at night, so she relies on her daughters to survive. And when you're inspecting a hive, what you're doing is looking for the queen to see if she's laying eggs. And it's pretty easy to spot her in a hive of 50,000 bees, because not only is she a little bigger, but she's always followed by an entourage. And these are her attendants, and they follow her everywhere. They form like a little daisy chain around her and clear the path on the honeycomb. So it's like bodyguards parting a crowd for a pop star. So you just look for the circle. And what I got out of that was that motherhood is instinctual, and mothers and daughters love each other, even in the insect world. And I think that made me feel better, gave me hope that, you know, I might have that someday, or that just because it's not happening in my situation is an aberration. It's actually natural for everything, even bugs.
The title of the book is The Honey Bus, and you write that, I mean, this is where, as you mentioned a moment ago, this old military bus, decommissioned, is what he used as this Willy Wonka place. And, I mean, that added to it, right? I mean, you get the sense in the book that was very much a part of how it connected with you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the bus is just so cool looking, too. You know, like, Grandpa was steampunk before steampunk was cool, you know? And so the bus, that is the actual bus on the cover. It's the title of the book. I mean, it's the focal point of this whole story. So many people in Carmel Valley and Big Sur know about that bus. He brought lots of people in there, his friends, other kids. You know, he loved teaching people about bees, and I try to follow in his footsteps. I was just a couple days ago at my elementary school, which is down the street from where the bus used to be, and talked to the kids about bees. But Grandpa would tell us stories about bees, and they were metaphors about how to be a good person. And I didn't realize this until I was his age when I showed up on his door. But I remember we talked a lot about the scout bee when we were inside the bus. And the scout bee is the famous dancing bee. And they dance to tell the other bees where the flowers are. But they also dance to tell the bees where a better home is. If there's something wrong with the current one, it's like too drafty or crowded, they'll dance to give the address of the better house they've found. And then, I don't know, the bees have a meeting or something, but they pick a day and time, and then that's when you see a swarm relocating to a new spot.
You just saying what you said, I don't know if they have a meeting. That's one of the cool things about this book, that there's so much mystery. We know a lot about what the bees do, but there's a lot we don't know, too.
Yeah, and they're spooky intelligent. You know, they do things that even to this day, I every time I open the hive, I'm like, what is that? One time I was in my backyard in the middle of the night. Oh, I have a new golden retriever puppy, and she was
very
getting
cool.
Me up for the, you know, midnight pee. But I was out there with her, and I looked, and they were all outside the hive, walking from the bottom entrance up to the top in a very narrow column. I've never seen that before. I'm like, what are you guys doing in the middle of, or girls, I should say. So they're endlessly fascinating.
Talk a little bit as we wrap up about what you were able to put together when it came to the relationship with your mother who passed a few years ago, and of course your grandfather who passed as well.
Well, let's see. My grandfather was her stepfather, so and that's an important distinction because what I learned in working on this book and interviewing my mother, I mean, the sort of the big driving question in the book is, why is she so aloof? Why is she so, I mean, bizarre? There are comic moments in the book where she just does these embarrassing things. Like, she would go to garage sales only in rich neighborhoods and then sort of worm her way into the house under false pretenses just to, like, rummage through their medicine cabinets and see what rich people had, you know? So it's not... There are some kind of funny moments, but what I put together about her is that she also was terribly abused by her biological father, and he was terribly abused by his father, and I don't know how much farther it goes back, but it's a story about breaking that chain and how anyone can raise you in this life and put a turnaround to that sort of generational abuse. They don't have to be related to you, and they don't have to even be human.
Meredith May's new book is The Honey Bus. She spent 16 years at the San Francisco Chronicle, where her narrative reporting won the Penn USA Literary Award for Journalism, and she was shortlisted for the Pulitzer Prize. The new book is The Honey Bus, a memoir of loss, courage, and a girl saved by bees. It is published by Park Row Books. Meredith, thank you so much for sharing with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Oh, I enjoyed it so much. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book is The Honey Bus, published by Park Row Books. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.